No matter what.
I did that on purpose, so you wouldn't have to get out of this one.
Okay. Thank you. Call to order this meeting of the House Veterans and Emergency Services Committee. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, Representative. Let's open a public hearing on House Bill 2718. Good afternoon, Representative Gelser.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sarah Gelser, State Representative from Corvallis and Philomath. Thank you very much for holding this work session on House Bill 2718. As you may remember from the public hearing that we previously had on this bill, this is the bill that creates a task force to look at the unique needs of women returning from women veterans. I appreciated the positive comments from the committee during the public hearing on the bill, and I also wanted to acknowledge that one of the concerns that was raised was the difficulty of the task forces in this difficult financial environment. But the Oregon Military Department, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and the Department of Human Services have all reported to LFO their ability and willingness to absorb the minimal fiscal impact. And as a result, the Speaker has rescinded the subsequent referral to Ways and Means on this bill. I do have an amendment for your consideration that I think improves the task force by adding some important voices to the group. As Representative Riley pointed out during the public hearing, we wanted to specify in statute that there should be a female veteran with experience on the task force, and also because the task force, one of the tasks is to look at the issue of military sexual assault, my office was contacted by the Attorney General's Sexual Assault Task Force recommending that there be a place for an advocacy group that represents the interests of women who have been the victims of sexual assault and bring expertise in that area. I think these amendments make a good bill even better, and I urge your support of House Bill 2718. With the dash one amendments, and I thank you again for your indulgence and for your support of this bill. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. I'm just trying to track the amendment. I think here on line 10 we just put shall appoint, and then there's three new pieces, which I and then do we pick up with the rest of them?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Previously, okay. They,
yes, these are in addition to, not instead of.
I think I'm wondering whether the letters, the capital A, B, C, D, and then that doesn't fall in line with the small D, small E. I'm wondering if we're going to have to get some clarity and just so that it reads correctly. See what I'm...
I'm
just not following.
No, because in the bill they are small letters and in the amendment they are big letters, capital letters.
Yeah. Those are the ones that the... I see. It's because those are the individuals that would be appointed by the Director of Veterans Affairs.
Oh, all right.
And then the rest of them go, okay.
Okay.
I'm there now, but I just wanted to make sure that the amendment was appropriate.
Thank you. You worried me for a minute there.
I guess I just can't do three things at once effectively all the way around. Are there any questions other than my silly questions here? Okay. Thank you very much
for
coming. Was there anyone else that wanted to offer comments on this bill? Director Willis, thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my written testimony on House Bill 2718 is being handed to you now, so I'll not read it. I was in support of this bill before, but I'm here today to say that I want to thank Representative Gelser, along with Representative Riley, for their interest in expanding the membership of this task force. I think it's going to be a stronger group as a result, and I think we can work with these community members and women veterans and health care providers in such a way to make the outcome of the work of the Women's Veterans Task Force more meaningful and come up with solutions that we can implement sooner than later. So I'm really happy with the work that has been done on this bill. and I'm still strongly supporting.
So you continue to be in support.
I
think I may have misinterpreted the way you started that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't
pay attention. He did that just on purpose.
Happy to.
Who's listening here?
Happy to answer any questions now that we've heard that.
Any questions now that we're all on the same wavelength here? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Committee, we do not have a fiscal report on the Dash 1 amendments, although I'm sure it makes no changes in the fiscal. We'll not be able to move this out in work session today. But we could, if anyone was so inclined, go ahead and adopt the amendments. So let's move to work session for that. Is that what you'd like to do?
Yes.
Representative Escobar, did you have a question or were you?
No, actually, you asked for an adoption.
Oh, we're not quite there yet.
Give
me 1 second. I will. Close the public hearing on 2718 and open a work session on 2718. Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Amendment 1 be appendage to House Bill 2718.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2718. Is there any objection? Seeing none, Dash 1 amendment 2718 is approved. And we will close the work session and move this along as soon as we get a fiscal. Thank you very much for your work on this. And do we have some documents for this file from the director? Or do I just not? Maybe I have it buried in here and just haven't found it yet then. Okay, thank you. Okay, we will now move back up the agenda and open a public hearing on House Bill 3470. Mr. Molina, could you bring us up to date?
Yeah. Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3470 defines veteran for purposes of Section 3, Article 11A of Oregon Constitution. Takes effect only if amendment to the Oregon Constitution by House Joint Resolution 7, the one that was recently passed, changing eligibility requirements for loan from the Oregon War Veterans Fund, and that is scheduled for approval by the people at next general election. Takes effect on January 1st, 2011. This is the companion bill that we needed to expedite that makes House Joint Resolution 7 legitimate.
Thank you. Committee, I am sure that you will recall that we found out that there were some pieces missing when we talked about House Joint Resolution 7 and updating the Veterans Home Loan Program, and we needed this companion piece. Any comments from the department? You're not forced to.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is a very good bill. This will eliminate the need to have to change the state constitution with regard to the veteran definition every time there's a need to change it in statute. So we simply will be able to do it in statute and leave the constitution alone, assuming the passage of the people of the proposal in HJR 7. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
You bet.
I am assuming that we can guess that this falls into the good bill should pass category?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Any questions? I will close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 3470. We don't have a fiscal on this either, do we? Do we have a fiscal?
No, we don't.
Okay, this little piece is kind of causing a glitch in the rapidly moving system, isn't it? All right. I guess we won't. We'll close the work session.
Let me get back to you.
And we'll have a couple of bills that we'll move through very quickly as soon as we have a fiscal. Let's open a public hearing on House Bill 2035.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2035 expands post-secondary institution tuition waiver at Oregon University System institutions to community colleges for children, spouses, and unremarried surviving spouses of deceased or 100% disabled member of the Armed Forces of the United States. It removes the September 11, 2001 provision and declares an emergency effective July 1, 2009. Per what before you here, the Dash 1 amendment that we discussed at the previous committee hearing on March 24th. Today we have a Dash 2 before you. The Dash 2 amendment, it removes the community college provision. And just to note here that LFO is trying to get us the Dash 2 fiscal for this by 2 o'clock, if possible. But I don't have it with me here.
That's okay.
Okay.
Committee, for your information, I received late notice, and we didn't probably coordinate as well as we should have, that the bill on the Senate side, which does the same thing, the primary concern around removing the September 11th, 2001 date, has passed in the Senate and is on its way to us. So we can take testimony today on the amendments that we have here before us, but we will not be going to work session until we see just exactly how these two bills are processing. So, do we have anyone signed up to testify on this bill?
Senate number?
I don't have it off the top of my head. That's technical difficulty. Okay. Kevin O'Reilly and Mac McDonald. Neil Feldman, did you want to come up at the same time? I think we've got room for three. Maybe we better do two and then we'll bring you up next. How would that be? Okay. Might save a little bit of rearranging the furniture then.
Just a small one.
Mm-hmm.
Go first, Mac.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mac McDonald, United Veterans of Oregon. The only thing I hope, and I know we can't do budget notes in this committee, but I hope if you do drop the community colleges from this, that you do hold them accountable and check on them. Because last session, they said all the community colleges were doing this. This session, they've said they're going to have them done by the 1st of May. I'm hoping that you hold them accountable if you do drop this amendment.
Okay. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Kevin O'Reilly. I'm here advocating for the Oregon chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. And we, of course, support the Dash 1 amendments. We did speak with the representative from the community colleges, and we understand their concerns, and we'll give them the opportunity to get community colleges to offer a tuition waiver program on their own. If they do that, we'll be very happy, and we will push for a state law requiring them to do so. So I guess, as it is, we would support the Dash 1 amendments. We won't twist and cry. We prefer the Dash 2, or I'm sorry, the Dash 1 amendments. We support the Dash 2 amendments. We won't worry too much about if that gets adopted. And the community colleges do as they more or less said they would. Our understanding, they said they would. They can come up and defend themselves if my understanding is wrong. We did ask that they include the language loss of life in line of duty or service-connected disability 100% as defined by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, just so that everybody's on the same page on what that means.
Okay.
And thank you very much. Any questions, I'm more than happy to try to answer them for you.
Are there any questions for these two gentlemen?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Madam Chair. Can you hear me?
We can, yes. Thank you.
Didn't know if I was too far. I'm Neil Feldman, Salem, Oregon. And basically my only concern on the bill is basically I was think I was here for a different bill.
Oh, well, we'll let you come back when you hear the bill that you want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'm not sure if it's that one or not, but basically it was for, like, in-state tuition for those not here legally or whatever, and I basically oppose that as far as
no, that's
providing.
Not. Excuse me. I'm sorry. That's not included in this
right.
bill.
Right. Okay. So other than that, I mean, as long as that requirement is there, which I'm assuming, you know, if you're a serviceman or something like that, you're a naturalized citizen or something along the lines.
Okay.
All right. But that's it. Do you happen to know if
it's not in this committee?
That's not, that bill is not before this committee, so you might want to check if you want to testify on it. There might be another committee that you need to get to.
Right. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chair, that bill is being heard tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow, but next Monday in education, I think.
Oh, Mr. Feldman? We have some information that the bill that you're concerned about is being held.
It's going to be held in the House Education Committee, and I believe it's next Monday.
Oh, next Monday?
I believe so. But check the schedule.
Okay. Do you happen to know the bill number?
No.
So you had all that in print.
No.
That's pretty good.
Thank you very
much. Okay. Well, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2035, and we'll get some additional information about where things are on that one. See what we're doing. Yeah, it's kind of complicated. Okay, let's open a public hearing on House Bill 2744. Bring us up to speed, please, here.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2744 would require all public, private, and not-for-profit entities to provide 14 days unpaid leave to half or a full-time employee who is a spouse of a citizen soldier ordered active duty under Title 32 or Title 10 of the United States Code, makes failure to grant leave or discrimination against spouse unlawful practice, requires Bureau of Labor and Industries to enforce provision of act, declares emergency effective on passage. And we do have before you here a -1 amendment on this. What it does is it redefines state as an employer of 25 or more persons in the state of Oregon. It requires leave to be included in addition to the 12 weeks of family leave within the one-year period as authorized under ORS 659A.162. And that was a concern that was brought up from the previous submitted here by, I want to say, Boli, who is here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we going to do a public? I'm sorry. I was just walked in the door.
We just opened a public hearing on 2744. Representative Esquivel. Well, we seem to all be sort of
we're a little
scrambling to catch up here. I'm not quite sure what's in the atmosphere in this room, but we're back now, I think.
For the record, Sal Esquivel, Representative District 6. Colleagues, you have before you a amendment of -1 amendment that corrected the concerns by some people that had came in on the last public hearing we had. I think it stitches it up. There are some clarifications that J.L. Wilson, Mr. Wilson, decided that he wanted even a more of a clarification, I believe, on the term employee, and he said he didn't have any heartburn with this, that he would take care of that particular instance about the employee part to spell it out a little more clearly, and that's fine. But I think it's a passable bill right now, and my concern is if we don't pass this on, let the Senate correct, if they so desire, what Mr. Wilson wants to outline in the name of the employee part of it, then that's fine, but we need to move it on out of here because of our deadlines that are coming up, so therefore we will send it out because it is acceptable the way it is. He just wants more of a definition.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions?
Any questions for Representative Esquivel? Representative Widener.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Esquivel, why do we leave it so wide open?
I don't understand the question.
Identify this a little clearer, because I just kind of read through it and just narrow it up. Can we do the dash one amendments, or do we not have?
Yeah, we can do the dash one amendments. He's fine with the dash one amendments. He just wants some clarification on some language, and he's fine with. We're okay with it.
I think we're going to get a little further information
from
testimony today.
From
we have representatives from Boley here today.
From where?
Boley.
Okay.
Bureau from of Boley? Labor.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Wilson is here also, but I don't know if he was planning to testify.
Come on up.
Bob Easterbrook, you want to come up at the same time, and maybe we can get all this information then?
Thank you, Chair Cowan, members of the committee. Our concern, as you recall, at the first public hearing was that the definitions of employee and employer were not synced up with current definitions that are used under Oregon Family Leave Act. Our interpretation of it was that it was this act was something separate and distinct from Oregon's Family Leave Act. Representative Esquivel had a different impression of it. I just thought clarity was the best answer, and that clarity is spelled out in the dash one amendments, that in fact this is exactly synced up with Oregon's Family Leave Act, and it does satisfy our concerns.
So the dash one meets your needs?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions? Okay. Mr. Easterbrook.
Thank you, Chair Cowan, members of the committee. Bob Easterbrook from the Bureau of Labor and Industries. I'm actually here to testify in support of the bill because, unfortunately, Boley was not present for the earlier public hearing on 2744. We think that the bill is a great idea, and we actually don't have a position on the Dash 1 amendments. Boley is going to do its utmost to enforce this protection, regardless of whether it's through the introduced version of the bill or a Dash 1 amended version.
Is there a difference between the original version or the Dash 1 from your organization's perspective about as far as fiscal impact is concerned?
Chair Cowan, Boley believes that the fiscal is basically the same either way. Our interpretation of the introduced bill is that this family leave would be distinct from the regular Oregon Family Leave Act, and we're comfortable with enforcing it that way, or with the Dash 1 amendments to make it a specific portion of OFLA. We're comfortable being able to enforce it that way. We believe that the number of cases that we would take or that we would need to respond to under this bill is, regardless of whether it's through the introduced version of the bill or the Dash 1, is a fairly limited number and would not have a significant impact on Boley in terms of the fiscal.
Okay, thank you. Because we didn't have a fiscal statement before us, I thought we needed to clarify whether we would anticipate one coming from your organization. Thank you.
Yeah.
You don't expect it to be significant.
It will be very nominal, Chair Cowan.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I would like to thank Mr. Wilson for working with me on this to clarify this and to get it into the right box. So, worked well together.
Any further questions of these folks? Well, good. It looks like we have all of the T's crossed now. Huh?
Thanks, Jill.
General Caldwell.
My eyes are crossed.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see whether the I's are crossed now.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of the Military Department. We looked at the amendments. They're fine. I just wanted to make the committee aware that Senate Bill 805 is similar to this. There's a little bit of difference in the days, but it was heard yesterday, so you got another one coming the other direction. I suppose one of them can go the other way. I would suggest that this is probably the better vehicle to get where we want to go with it. So we're okay with it. Again, I think for the record, we don't experience a lot of difficulty with private employers when it comes to these sort of things. Most of our difficulty comes with public employers, so I know that's hard to believe, but it's the truth. And so I think, even though, like I said, I think it's good clarification, I don't think the private employers have that much to concern themselves about, frankly, because that's not been our experience. So I'll leave it at that. Any questions?
Any questions? I don't think we need any.
Okay. We will close the public hearing on House Bill 2744 and open a work session on House Bill 2744 for the purpose of reviewing the Dash 1 amendment, although we do not have the required fiscal, so we can't complete this operation today.
Madam Chair.
Representative Riley, sorry.
I move the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2744.
Thank you. Representative moves approval of the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 2744. Is there any further discussion? Since this changes the bill a bit, let's go ahead and call the roll, if you would, please.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Arnold?
Aye.
Riley?
Aye.
Wagner?
Aye.
Chair Freeman?
Aye.
Matthew?
Excused.
Chair Callen?
Aye. Thank you. Having received the required vote, Dash 1 amendments are approved. And we will process this as soon as we get the appropriate fiscals and see what we can do with the conflict with the Senate bill. I will close the work session on House Bill 2744. And the committee will stand at recess for just a moment because I don't think we called for Representative Wisnett, did we? Everybody ready here? Thank you for your indulgence, and we will reopen the House Committee on Veterans and Emergency Services. First of all, I want to make an apology to the audience that I apparently didn't see one of the sign-up for testimony sheets. So we are going to be coming back to House Bill 2718 and allow those who wanted to speak to do so. My apologies. However, at this particular point in time, I am going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2510. Welcome, Representative Wisnett. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Representative Jean Wisnett, District 53, rural Deschutes County. Madam Chair, I appreciate you having a work session on this bill. I'm here to support the Dash 1s and the Dash 2s, and I appreciate your leadership and the committees in moving this bill forward.
And once again, I have slipped right past our good committee administrator, who maybe could explain the Dash 1s and Dash 2s to us. Apparently, the chair is not functioning as well as she should today. Sorry about that.
No worries. Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2510 implements a lifetime veterans hiring preference for public sector positions. It repeals the 15-year limitation. It conforms to current ORS form and language, effective on passage. There are two amendments that we have here. The Dash 1 amendment adds and defines civil service position. It redefines public employer from state agency to public body and hiring managers who oversee hiring of the public body. And the Dash 2 amendment is identical, except it doesn't talk about the hiring managers who oversee the hiring of the public body. So just for clarification, I did speak with LC on this, and LC says there's no difference. It's just there's no legal difference to the amendment is what LC is noting to us. And so so I wanted more than anything for Representative Wisden in terms of is that what your intent was, because it can merge it, but I wanted to know more about that. Because
Representative Wisnett, I think we are now completely confused.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and for the committee counsel. I didn't submit these. I'm not sure if LC did it, provided them or not, but I thought they were just clarifying current statute into our bill as far as definitions. So.
Okay.
Representative, behind you, I see hands waving, so if we could call Bob Easterbrook up and maybe we can work through this a little bit.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Bob Easterbrook from the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries. I apologize for the confusion, and yes, it is very confusing why there are Dash 1 and Dash 2 amendments that are, except for four words, identical to each other. The reason that they are different and the reason that Boley requested the Dash 2 after the Dash 1 version had come back was in the spirit of absolute clarity for making sure that all of the public employers that Boley believes are covered by the veterans preference are in fact covered and cannot use some creative means to avoid being covered. What those four words would do is essentially create a circular definition where you're referring back to public employer when the language that we are trying to put in should specify who that public employer is.
And could you point out where those word differences are?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. This would be on page 2 of the amendment, right about line 4. The last four words there, where it talks about respect, control, management, or supervision of any employee, adding the phrase of the public body, according to our legal advisor, would make it more complicated for us to enforce than if we leave out that phrase. And if LC is of the opinion that it doesn't make a legal difference, it would be our preference to adopt the Dash 2 and not have that phrase in there, creating additional confusion.
It does seem unnecessarily excess.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, and remove my support of a Dash 1 and endorse the Dash 2 after it's been clarified today.
And so, essentially, in summary, either of you, these amendments do what to the original bill?
Madam Chair, Madam Chair and committee members, Bob Estabrook. Two issues that we identified when Bully testified before this committee a few weeks ago about veterans' preference were some difficulties with the existing statute about the lack of a definition for what a civil service position is, even though the statute refers to getting preference points for applications for civil service positions, and then also some difficulty that we had had during our rulemaking about the definition of public employer that was used, and having heard feedback from some entities that we believe are public employers, but believe that they were not covered by the definition as it was written. And that uncertainty we felt should be clarified so that if a veteran comes to Bully saying that they did not receive the preference as they were supposed to, we are able to enforce that and ensure that that veteran gets taken care of rather than being caught up in a definition of whether or not a particular entity is in fact a public employer. This definition that we've suggested using, that of a public body as defined in ORS 174-109, would capture all of the public employers in the state of Oregon and would not have the sort of wiggle room that existed with the previous language about agencies or political subdivisions of the state. And our definition for civil service position is also based on our effort to clarify who is covered and what positions are covered so that there is not an additional opportunity for confusion in the statute when we enforce it.
Thank you. And could you review what the preference, how that rolls into the hiring process, sort of the differentiation between where it applies and where you move into sort of a final interview that's kind of subjective as opposed to points?
Yes, Madam Chair. The existing statute applies the points, the preference points for a veteran or disabled veteran where there is a numerical score that comes out of either, for example, the initial application or perhaps preliminary interviews. Those sometimes have scoring that you would account points relative to. But the final interview where you're down to a handful of applicants, you wouldn't have a preference apply there.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions of these individuals? Thank you very much for the clarification. I think that we understand it now. Appreciate it.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you again for the record. Gene was in District 53. So I'm glad to help Bully and use my bill to clarify an issue was open.
We appreciate the representative's assistance, and I will note for the record again that Bully is supportive of House Bill 2510 and the Dash 2 amendments that will help us do a better job of enforcing veterans' preference in Oregon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, it looks like we've managed to clear up several things here in this process.
Thank you very much.
We also have waiting to testify Paul Evans, Kevin O'Reilly, and General Caldwell, so maybe you can orchestrate that however.
Well, we'll get it right before Judy.
Do you want to draw for draw numbers here? Or? Welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Kevin O'Reilly. I'm here representing the Oregon chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America, and we strongly support the bill. Just recently, I heard of one of our members who, a few years ago, broke his back, bad accident, couldn't do his normal job anymore. And while he was getting his land legs back, so to speak, getting back into society, he timed out on the veteran's preference. He went to look for a stable job in the state, and that veteran's preference, I don't know if he got the job or not, I just heard the story the other day, but he had timed out on the veteran's preference, which doesn't quite seem fair, all things considered. So, again, we strongly support the bill, and even the Dash 2 amendments.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of the Military Department, we support the bill. And the dash two.
Thank you. There are pictures of brevity today.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, good bill, do pass, and the dash two.
Did you want to identify yourself?
Paul Evans, Policy Advisor, Governor Gosky.
Couldn't help myself
there.
Thank you. We will then...
Thank you, sir.
Is that everyone who wanted to testify on this one? Okay, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2510 and open a work session on House Bill 2510 for the purpose of considering the Dash 1 and Dash 2 amendments before us.
Madam Chair.
I think I saw a hand up here. What, Representative Esquivel, did you?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. He's just waving.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2510.
Thank you. Representative Riley moves the adoption of the Dash 2 amendments for House Bill 2510. Any further discussion? Are you just testing me, or do you have a discussion?
No, I was trying to get him to say Dash 1.
And you were unsuccessful, so did you have any other further discussion?
I'm ready to pass this.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments? All right. We have before us the motion to approve the Dash 2 amendments. Is there any objection? Seeing none, we will approve the addition of the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2510, and I will close the work session. And we will bring that back as soon as we have a fiscal on the Dash 2. If I don't make sure I write that note, I won't remember. Now, with apologies, we are going to move back and reopen the public hearing on House Bill 2718 for the purpose of hearing the testimony that I overlooked. Kevin, you're still close by.
I am.
And the rest of our regulars here, Mr. Willis, you're close by. Would you like to join Kevin, please?
Madam Chair, I've testified on this already, and I'm supported.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Kevin O'Reilly, disgruntled veteran. First, I'll apologize for being as disgruntled as I was the last time I testified on this. I shouldn't be let out in public when I get like that. We support the Dash 1 amendments. I support the Dash 1 amendments. Actually, the organization does, to Organ Paralyzed Veterans of America. And we hope that it moves along swiftly and quickly. And thank you.
There's so many in the
I'll let the next person come up.
Yes. Paul Evans, General Caldwell, did you have additional comments that you'd like to add? Okay. Yes, please.
Chair Cowan, representatives of the committee, hello. My name is Elizabeth Kushwa, representing the Oregon Foundation for Reproductive Health. We were not here the first time this was heard, I apologize, but we are very much in support of the bill and recognizing the unique needs of women's health care, especially in the way women deal with trauma and how that is different than the way that men deal with trauma. We're very happy to support the bill. We know it's going to Ways and Means, but we wanted to go on the record.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Point of information, while we do still need to await the fiscal, for the Dash 1 amendments that we have approved for the committee's information, and maybe to make us all feel just a little bit better, we have just received a letter granting us removing the subsequent referral to Ways and Means on this bill. So it will go more quickly as soon as we get it back. I'm ready. Okay, with that, I will once again close that public hearing 2718, and maybe I wasn't supposed to do that after we'd already had a work session, but I want to make sure everyone was heard anyway.
Madam Chair, can I, just for clarification of anybody else in the room who doesn't get this either now, is when we have a rescindence, or whatever you call it, when we rescind a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, why exactly do we still need a fiscal?
I know the answer to that.
Representative Esquivel?
I believe if we look at our rules of our committee, it's very specific. You cannot move anything out of a committee unless it has a fiscal infringement.
Correct. A fiscal impact statement.
Correct.
Yes, I think the clarity on that is that we have been asked to make sure that we have a fiscal impact statement added for every amendment as well. That needs to be reviewed. And even though it will be minimal or no impact, they still have to be reviewed through the process. And it's to speed up the process on the other end. It may provide some frustration to us here, but I think it does help the process as things move through. So we'll be able to bring those back for very quick work sessions in, I'm sure, a very short period of time. We may have an agenda one day that looks scary from its size, but it won't be. Okay. And thankfully, our good committee administrator will track all of these so we know exactly where we are on them. With that, committee, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3104 for the purpose of referring this bill on to the Committee on Rules. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that House Bill 3104 be referred to the House Committee on Rules without recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Riley moves that we refer House Bill 3104 to the Committee on Rules without recommendation. Any objections? So ordered. And we will close the work session on House Bill 3104. And close the Committee on Veterans and Emergency Services.
All right, that works.
I like it.
Thank you all.
I didn't go to my office.